Good afternoon. Let's call the meeting of the House Military and Veterans Affairs Committee to order. It is 1:10 p.m. Tuesday, February 13th. We are in the State Capitol Gruenberg Room number 120. Present, we have Vice Chair Ledoux, Representative Rauscher, Representative Sadler, Representative Parrish, and myself, Representative Tuck. Let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to conduct business. Please silence your phones and make sure any electronic devices are on quiet. Before we begin, I would also like to thank Brian Glenn with House Records and Madison Truitt there in the back, who is moderating the meeting, and my committee aide, Kendra Kloster. Today, we only have one agenda, House Bill 307. Last time we heard 307 was on Tuesday, February 6th. And we left on considering amendments, and we still have a motion on the floor with amendment number one. So basically, amendment number one was to clarify or attempt to clarify sections 21, 22, and 23 in relation to the use of drugs, alcohol, and controlled substances. And amendment number one is still there. So I'd like to go over amendment number one just real quick to explain. Representative Sather.
Mr. Chair, for the purpose of the record, could we please give the drafting number for amendment one?
Yes, that's 30-LS1099/A.1.
Thank you.
Drafted on February 5th, 2018. So, I'm just going to do a quick overview of amendment number one again. On page 10, line 15, following prisoner, it was suggested that we insert or unlawfully uses a drug with a prisoner. And that was to clarify that any unlawful use of a drug, because somebody may be needing cough syrup, and that's not necessarily what we're intention of the bill. And then line four of the amendment, directing us to page 12, line three, following alcohol, insert or a drug. And when we talk about or a drug, we're talking about legal or illegal, all encompassing. And so it took me a little while to understand section 21. Section 21 refers to 2605860, and basically what the uniform code was looking at was, in the first instance, someone being drunk on duty or under the influence. The second part is, or two, as a result of indulgence in any alcoholic beverage or drug, is unable to properly perform the member's duty. And so I did also have a question. Why do we have alcohol here and an alcohol beverage down here? And my understanding is now is that an indulgence, you may not be under the influence, but as a result of indulgence in alcoholic beverage, you could be hungover and not able to perform your work. So does that clarify? It makes sense? Representative Parrish?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then so that actually, the way it's written, If we were to adopt amendment number one, makes sense to me. Going on down, looking at page 12, line 9, following drunk or under the influence of a controlled substance. I don't think anybody had too much trouble with that one, except for we were worried about controlled substances also being those that are legal prescriptions drug. So if you don't mind, even though we're not under consideration of amendment number three, if you look at amendment number three, it will be proposed or under the influence of a controlled substance other than a controlled substance taken in accordance with a valid prescription. One of the problems that we had in drafting this is trying to figure out how do we talk about legal use of prescription drugs. Representative Sadler.
Okay.
So with a minor modification on amendment number one, if we wanted to adopt that language, I think everything else falls into place. So I'm going to make that suggestion. However, if people still have a problem with Section 21, I'm willing to eventually consider Amendment Number 3, depending on what we do with Amendment Number 1, and just take that section out. So what's the will of the committee? Representative Sadler.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate your succinct and clear explanation of Amendment 1. I think we can accomplish its purposes in the manner you described. So thank you for doing this for us.
Okay. Any other comments? So I would like to make an amendment to Amendment Number 1. And that is Amendment to Number 1 is on page 1 of the Amendment Number 1, after line 8. That we add in there
other than a control.
Yeah, we take the language, insert, basically say, or under the influence of a controlled substance, and then add other than a controlled substance taken in accordance with a valid prescription. So that would be my amendment number 2. Representative
Sather. So, for the record, so you are offering Amendment 1 to Amendment 1, which after page 1, line 8 of Amendment 1.
Amendment 2.
I'm sorry, this is Amendment 2.
Yeah, because we adopted Amendment Number 1. I was changing the line. It was a mistake, so we changed that in the last meeting. So, Amendment Number 1 to Amendment Number 1 is on line 10, page 12.
Gotcha. You're right. Sorry.
Changing that to line 10.
I mean,
yes.
Good. I just wanted to clarify that, so good.
Okay. And so Amendment Number 2 is just adding that additional language.
Other than a controlled substance taken as?
Other than a controlled substance taken in accordance with a valid prescription.
Thank you.
Are there any objections to Amendment Number 2? Okay, here are no objections. Amendment Number 2 is adopted. Now back to the original amendment, Amendment Number 1. There was an objection by Representative Reinbold, who isn't here. Let me take a brief at ease. Objection still maintained on Amendment Number 1. Any further discussions on Amendment Number 1? Okay, we'll take a roll call vote. Brian, if you don't mind walking us through the vote. Oh, Jeff, okay. Did I miss you? I didn't know if I missed you. Okay. All right. Good, good. Brief at ease. On the record, go ahead and take a roll call vote.
Representative Roshan.
Yes.
Representative Sadler.
Yes.
Representative Ledoux.
Yes.
Representative Parrish.
Yes.
And Chair Tuck.
Yes.
And 5 yeas and 0 nays.
So with 5 yeas, 0 nays, Amendment Number 1 Amendment Number 1 has been adopted.
As amended.
Twice. Okay, now moving on to Amendment Number 2. Go ahead. Oh. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I move Amendment Number 2, 30-LS1099/A2.
Are there any objections?
I'll object. Just to have the amendment explained to us, please.
Okay, there's an objection. Amendment Number 2 relates to the Service Members Civil Relief Act, and if you like, I would have our committee aide, Kendra Kloster, go ahead and just walk us through everything.
For the record, Kendra Kloster, staff to Representative Tuck. So if we are looking at Amendment 2, this relates to the Civil Service Members Relief Act. And here what we did is page 1, line 3, you're going to see where we put in a member of the organized militia. We are changing it to service members. And throughout sections 6 and 7 of the bill, we are then going ahead and changing that same definition to make it to a service member. If you look on page 4 of the amendment, it gives you a definition of service member, which means a member of the armed forces of the United States or a member of the organized militia of the state. So we're just being all encompassing with United States service and the organized militia in the state.
Representative Sather.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chairman, Ms. Kloster. So, just for the record, would you list the services that are part of the organized militia? I know that it's by we have incorporated by reference elsewhere, but just for the ease of record, please list all the different organizations, military organizations that are encompassed in the term organized militia, please.
Representative Sather, through the chair, we have the Air Guard, Army Guard, Alaska State Defense Force, Alaska Naval Militia, and am I good? Oh, good. Perfect.
Thank you. Good job.
Any other discussions? Any questions? Does your objection still remain on amendment number 2, Representative Sather?
If that's the only procedure, yes, I will remove my objection to amendment number 2.
Okay, are there any further objections to amendment number 2? Okay, hearing no objections, amendment number 2 has been adopted. Okay, that takes us back to the original bill. I am not going to offer amendment number 3. Any discussions, final discussions on House Bill 307? What's the will of the committee?
Chairman Tuck, I make a motion to move House Bill 307, 30-LS1099/A, as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Hearing seen no objections?
Object. Just for a second. Then I'd have to vote, right?
You can remove your objection afterwards. Okay, so there is an objection. Representative Rauscher.
Right.
This applies only to service members. Completely.
Yes, that's correct, Representative Rauscher.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
And do you maintain your objection?
No, I remove it.
Representative Sather.
So, Mr. Chairman, I will object again for discussion before we take a vote on final passage. Could I have somebody on record explain to me, in the title on page 1 of the bill, line 9, refers to offenses subject to court-martial proceedings. There are a number of places, many, many places, in which the qualification is said according to, let me find the right sections here, such authority as shall be punished as a court-martial may direct. I just want to ask the question if this excludes deliberately any administrative disciplinary measures. I just want to describe for the record what court-martial punishment may be and how that's different from administrative punishment.
Okay, thank you very much, Representative Sather. Just to let you know, we also have Lieutenant Colonel Chris Weaver on the line. We have Captain Blake Circle on the line. We also have the bill drafter online, Kate Glover. So I'm going to turn this over to Lieutenant Colonel Chris Weaver to answer first. Are you available, Lieutenant Colonel?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and did you understand the question?
I do. Yes, sir. Through the chair, this is Lieutenant Colonel Chris Weaver, Alaska National Guard. To answer Representative Sadler's question, no, it does not prevent using administrative measures as well.
Colonel Weaver, I could hear, but could you restate that? I wasn't quite sure.
Yes, sir. Through the chair, administrative procedures are something totally separate, and it does not prevent administrative procedures are still on the table when misconduct occurs.
Good deal. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Representative Rauscher.
thank you. Through the chair, I don't know who this would best pertain to, but page 6, line 19, 20, basically it says that the member of the organized militia, which I guess that language has changed anyway, may terminate a contract for any of the following reasons if the member receives official orders to relocate for a period of military service of at least 90 days to a location that does not support the contract and the member provides written notice, blah, blah, blah. Does that affect the credit rating?
Representative Rausch, that's a good question. I don't think it will, because they are able to leave that contract, so I don't think it should be anything that's under credit history for that, because they're not breaking a contract. There's no further monies will be owed unless they're delinquent already.
Okay. All right.
Representative Parrish.
On that point, Mr. Chair, it would seem that it could actually provide an added measure of protection for the service members' credit rating, because they wouldn't be suddenly being called away to repair infrastructure in Puerto Rico and, you know, have a delinquent outstanding bill getting charged to them month after month that they're away.
Thank you, Representative Parrish. So, Representative Sadler.
Mr. Chairman, raise another issue on page 7 in lines 1 through 7. Information was brought to my attention that the bill language presumes that a member, I guess now a service member, would have advance notice or would have orders in advance of deployment or TDY or dispatching or whatever movement was required that would kick in the provisions of the Serviceman's Credit Relief Act. And I think while I didn't have time to prepare the amendment, I might just note this for the next committee of referral. It might be advantageous to include language such that the provisions of the Credit Protection Act would kick in either in advance of orders or in advance of the or after the authorizing orders. Sometimes people get ordered to go, and there's no 90 days advance notice. Sometimes you're just told, and the actual orders will have to catch up later. So I'll be glad to work with somebody on the next committee referral to try and get that done. I didn't have time to prepare for this meeting, though.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Sadler. Just to let you know, I think that 90 days refers to the 90 days of deployment, right? The member shall provide proof that official orders not more than 90 days after providing written notice terminating the contract.
Yeah. You can tell this came over the transom just before the meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Representative Sadler. Any further questions?
And I'll remove my objection to passage.
Okay, the objection has been removed. Are there any further objections? Okay, thank you very much. House Bill 307 will pass from committee. We'll take don't need to take any of these. We'll just close the meeting. Okay, so Representative Ledoux, if you'd like to make a motion.
At ease.
Brief at ease. Okay, there is a motion before us. House bill, and the objection has been removed. Therefore, House Bill 307-30-LS-1099/A, as amended, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes, has moved from the House Military and Veterans Committee. Our next hearing will be Thursday, February 15th. We stand adjourned at 1:28 p.m.